You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another TAT pod. Another live stream. You know, this was actually going to be quite a nice one to talk about for once, because Liverpool actually won a game of football. Obviously, it's a few days after the game, so we are going to touch on that. Oh my gosh, what a save. And we are going to... Oh, Shakes is throwing his camera everywhere. We're also obviously going to preview the upcoming Newcastle game away from home and just discuss Liverpool, just talk all things Liverpool, all the latest talking points. I'm sure ownership will come into it at some point. Top four chart, is that still on? Is that a thing? But yeah, without any further ado, let's get into the panel we've got back today. We've got Shiggs, my main man. How are we doing, bro?
A lot better since we won against Everton, man. It's been a lot. I forgot how the feeling of winning, how it felt. It's good to be best of us.
Absolutely. And joining us once again is Mahmood. How are you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm good.
Good. Well, let's get straight into it then, lads. Let's not beat around the bush. We beat Everton 2-0. And this is a game where I think on the pod we did before the game, I was speaking to Mo and I wasn't out that pretty normal for Liverpool fans this season. I wasn't really confident and I was a bit afraid, especially of a couple of their midfielders in terms of power and pace and just how they steamroll other teams. And Shiggs, it turns out, mate, that I was fearful of absolutely nothing because Everton are absolutely shocking and we actually turned up for once.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. Like you, I was a little bit worried that our midfielder was going to get overrun, but it was quite the opposite. Henderson, as Mo was saying earlier before backstage, I in particular give Henderson a lot of stick, but I've got to give him his dues. Even though the first couple of minutes of the game, he made a couple of passes. I was like, oh, Henderson, please don't start. But then as soon as he got into the game, him, Fabinho, and that star boy, Stefan Pasecic, run the midfield.
So we'll talk about him in a bit.
So it was a pleasant surprise, and for for once, I don't know, the defense as well looks more solid.
Like, apart from when Matip slashed the ball in like the third minute, mate.
I think that was along with Henderson. He slashed the ball up as well, but after that 15-minute mark, it was like the old Liverpool returned.
Yeah, for sure.
So, long may it continue. I know we're going to talk about the Newcastle game a little bit shortly, but I was pleasantly surprised.
I agree, mate. Definitely. I was a bit... As I got closer to the game, I thought, like, there's no way that these boys aren't going to turn up for this, because you can lose to or drop points to other teams. Like, it's still bad, but it's like, you know, whatever, it can happen. But Mo, there was no way these boys could go and draw or lose or even draw at home to Everton, was there, mate?
Nah, you could tell that. I mean, one of the big issues you were talking about with Liverpool is that the lack of application. And today, you could feel like because it was Derby, they actually applied themselves. And it goes back to the point that we've all been saying that when these boys apply themselves, when that intensity is there, you see the huge difference. There's no doubt in my mind that the system still works, that the core principles of the way Klopp wants to play still works. You could talk about personnel, the midfield issues, etc. But when the quality we have, we still have these quality players. And when they apply themselves and we discover the intensity that we rely on, especially in terms of the pressing, you see the difference it makes. We control the game. We conceded very little, except for when I think there was the Davies head at the end and the post, and maybe one more. We didn't really concede that many high quality chances either. We created a few ourselves also. The front three looked like it was gelling a little bit better. I want to say the front three was perfect, because I still think there's some issues, especially with Nunes. I don't really like that Nunes down the left hand now, but it looked better, which it just shows a gradual improvement. And the midfielder, I know we're going to touch on the midfielder. The midfield was absolutely fantastic once again. I mean, Begetic at number eight, class move by Klopp. Henderson, a prime Henderson performance that Rice in the mid, and Fabinho looked like his old self. So there's good signs.
Yeah, spot on. And we'll talk about the goals and then we'll get into individual performances. And I remember, Shiggs, I was on the podcast. I said it on this one. I've said it on other streams as well, that this season, like, and maybe even last season as well to some extent, Liverpool have had possession, like 60, 70% possession in so many games, and we've not done anything with it. And I remember even last week or the week before, I came on here and I said, I'm ready for Liverpool to just go back to the 17-18 kind of way, how we did things. Just sit, soak up a bit of pressure and then attack. Because that's we've got the players now in attack to counter. And we saw it, both the goals against Everton were just lightning counter attacks. And we did have more possession. We did have 60% possession, which obviously does help. But I hadn't seen Gakpo particularly play with that much freedom and confidence ever at Liverpool. And I feel like that was the game where, you know, I never really thought, oh, what a waste of money, you know, we shouldn't have signed him, like a lot of Liverpool fans have. But I was thinking, okay, maybe the people that wanted a midfielder over him might have a point. But then I see how he played against Everton, and I came home thinking, I see it now. I feel like he is a central player. I think there's been a bit of a debate whether he plays out on the left or centrally.
Yeah,
I think the aim is to be that Bobby Firmino long-term replacement. That's what I feel. I think we saw a Bobby-type performance from him against Everton. But I was just happy, Shiggs, just going back to the goals, two vintage, I said it to you backstage, two vintage Liverpool counter-attacks. Wouldn't that game?
Very much so. with Darwin Nunez, it's a little bit bittersweet because you know that he's got the power and the pace to outrun people, but when it comes to the finishing side of things, there's still a lot for him to get better at. But when he got the ball, I was running, I was thinking, please just play a simple ball, please. And then he did that, and I was slightly hoping Gakpo would have got into the ball, but Salah nipped him in front of him and nicked it. But I didn't really care at that moment. I just wanted us to score. And it was, like you said, I knew Nunes was rapid, but I didn't realise that he's that, like, he's rapid.
He's quickest player. He's our quickest player, definitely.
Because I remember in the interview, Salah was saying that he's quick. So we had to keep up with him. But it was a good goal. And the thing that it was literally within two or three passes, he was away. And then Pickford, the wonderful goalkeeper, I don't know what he was doing, but thank you, my friend. I don't know if it was Salah's birthday, but just put a present on a plate for him and let him score. And I'm not going to say no to that. So,
exactly. Right. Yeah. And my biggest thing for the goal was, obviously, there was an element of luck. They've hit the post. I think it was Tarkowski. His header hits the post. But I was pleased with how we reacted to that. Like, we didn't just, they've hit the post.
Yeah, we were straight on our back.
Exactly. They've had a chance. They've missed the chance. We've played the ball out. I think Salah and Nunes have played a 1-2. And we're gone. And we put the ball in the back of the net. And, Mo, just watching that first goal, mate, yeah, is this something that you feel like we need to see more of? Because I think we spoke about it before. We have got the players in our attack to kill teams from counters, haven't we?
Yeah, no. You said it. You touched on it yourself. It was a vintage Liverpool goal. The counter attack was amazing. Nunes running down the left. I mean, credit to Klopp. I mean, one of the good things about Nunes down the left is that he can probably outplay and outpace most fullbacks in the Premier League, and therefore he's going to create chances and XG just for him being down the left, and Salah with a very composed finish. I think Pickford tried to anticipate that it was going to go to Gakpo, and he thought he was going to go try to claim it to Gakpo, and then Salah just tucked it in home. So yeah, I was very pleased with the goal and the way we didn't let our heads drop. Like, similar, because if you look at the Wolves goal, the first Wolves goal, you remember there was a chance the Wolves could have scored. Then we did. We weren't quick enough to react to the second ball straight away. And then Wolves score straight away. So I'm glad another situation like that didn't develop, because that definitely could have developed. And so yeah, I was glad with the way the goal came about.
Definitely, mate. And that leads me on. We'll just touch on the second goal before we get on to individuals. And again, this one I was really happy with, because we've won the ball back. I believe it was Nunes, Bešetić and Robertson that smothered Iwobi. All three of them, just the press that they had to win the ball back was something, again, that we've not really seen. We haven't seen that urgency and that rush to win possession back. And immediately, as soon as they all chased Iwobi, I mean, he didn't stand a chance. And then Robertson goes on an incredible run up the pitch. I mean, he, again, we'll get on to him in a bit. Amazing. Honestly, we needed to see a performance like that from Robertson. And then Trent plays in a ball. I believe it might have took a ricochet or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he got a little deflection off. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Tarkowski.
And then Gakpo's there, mate. Right place, right time. And Shiggs, I tweeted on my personal Twitter that Gakpo's going to open his account for Liverpool. And he did. So maybe I need to put more predictions out. But
Long may it continue.
Exactly, mate. How important do you think it was for Gakpo to get off his mark with that first Liverpool goal? And do you feel like, because it was a big game against Everton, now he's going to go into Newcastle with like a kick on?
Well, maybe I'm making a bit of a bold statement, but hopefully he can be the new Divock when it comes to Everton.
Big boots to fill, mate.
I know, but you got to start somewhere, right? So
yeah, true.
I was just, like you said, I was happy that he got off the mark, because no matter how much players say that it doesn't matter and da 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 da, after a prolonged period of time, it is going to start weighing on your mind. So I was happy that he got the goal, and two, he really did put in a good performance. I didn't realise how quick he was. There was a moment in the second half where he picked up the ball and was just driving, and I don't know who it was that he was beside him, but he left him. So I was just like, okay. So he's got another gear in his locker. And the one thing that when they were doing the highlights, he does remind me of Firmino in terms of that he's very tidy on the ball. He's got good touch, good control. I only saw him lose the ball a couple of times, and even then it was because a bad pass was played into him. So hopefully this will build his confidence up, and he'll be able to go again against Newcastle. But it's promising signs, because all three of them just seemed like they had another gear in them. Or was that just me?
Yeah, no, I definitely saw that 100%. I feel like they just played with more fluidity, and like we said, the urgency that we've been missing and all of that stuff, was it just seemed to be there. And just a little segue, I just hope that they, and I'll bring you in, Mo, on this point, I just hope now that they follow it through with a performance at St. James's Park, because it's very easy, and I'm not going to be, you know, hot, critical of them after that performance, but it's very easy to get up for a derby game, isn't it? But then when you've got to go away to St. James's Park on a Saturday night, that's when we need to see a follow-up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've had too many turning points to be like, oh, is it, or finally are we going to build momentum? We've had so many of these little blips where we
say it every time we win, mate. Oh, this is a turning point.
Exactly. We have too many turning points. Yeah. So in terms of the Newcastle game, I mean, it's a 5:30 kickoff on a Saturday away at Newcastle. I don't know, the match conditions aren't really favouring us, but hopefully we can take some momentum from this game. The one reason why I can take some confidence from the Everton game is simply because of the midfield. I mean, the application, the intensity was all there from the midfield. I mean, the two number eight, Henderson and Bešetić, were incredible. Fabinho looked similar to his old self again. And we've said it so many times, this system, the way you play, relies on pressing. When the pressing is not working, nothing else in his team can work. The front three cannot, the first line of pressing cannot press properly if the way the midfield operates doesn't work, and our fullbacks can't occupy key positions on the pitch if our counter press isn't working. So when our press is there, when the intensity is there, the rest of the team would play well. That's my position anyway. So hopefully we keep the same midfield. I can't really see any argument for the midfield to be changed, especially when we've got a week rest, or at least 5 days rest between now and the game on Saturday. I can't see a reason why the team should be rotated. So hopefully we see the same lineup. I mean, I'd rather Jota start ahead of Nunes in my opinion. And we can speak about this, but in my opinion, I wasn't really moved by the Nunes performance on
really.
I'll be honest. I'll elaborate also. I mean, okay, you look at the first goal. That was a moment. It wasn't really like, oh, he's playing so well, and we had loads of the ball, and he took a key position on the pitch, and he delivered a good ball. It was a counter attack. The ball wasn't even amazing, in my opinion. I think he was aiming for Gakpo, and he went to Salah, and Salah tucked it in. So I'm not even fully convinced about that either, about the ball from Nunes. I don't want to be too harsh on Nunes, because he did play reasonably, all things considered. Yeah. But I'll say I'd rather Jota start, simply because I feel like with the players we've got out, the best front three, in my opinion, and I thought Jota played really, really well when he came on. Until, like, I thought the front three gelled really well. For someone that's been out for so long, I thought Jota did really well the last 20 minutes he's on. So I feel like a Gakpo Jota Salah front three, in my opinion, would suit us amazingly well behind and in front of the midfield we've got. Simply because I'm worried about Nunes' turnovers. That's one point. I'm worried about Nunes losing the ball too much. I mean, I think we saw Gakpo and Jota a lot of times when Gakpo and Jota don't have an option in front of them, they'll pass the ball back. They'll circulate the ball. Whereas with Nunes, he just likes to run forward. He likes it. He's some sort. It's not really a slander name, but some sort of a roadrunner. He likes to just run with the ball all the time. In my opinion, that's where I've seen it. And sometimes, yeah, it can create high quality chances, but a lot of the times it can lead to a lot of turnovers. And because of the way we are, the moment we're in, and our counter pressing not being fantastic, I feel like turnovers can kill us a lot. So that's why I rather a Gakpo Jota Salah for you, just because I feel like we're able to circulate the ball better, we'll be able to keep the ball better, and Gakpo and Jota can still deliver in terms of in front of the goal, and Nunes can't. So that's why I'd go for Gakpo Jota Salah.
Can I just counter that?
Go on, Shiksha.
I understand where you're coming from, Mo. It's not, I'm not saying this to be difficult, but I think the only reason I wouldn't start with Jota is because if Nunes comes off the bench, I don't think we have that same potency. If he starts and then Jota comes on, at least I know with Jota, he's a goal scorer and can actually come on and, that's a word, for lack of a better word, affect the game in terms of scoring-wise. I don't know if Nunes would come on and still have that same kind of impact. And plus as well, Jota is still coming back from injury. So I don't know how much we would be able to get out of him. 60 minutes, maybe 50. So I understand where you're coming from, because his finishing does leave a lot to be desired. But I feel that if Nunes starts, it gives, hopefully he will run the right back ragged, and then Jota can then come in and then reap the benefits of it, rather than it being the other way. Because I don't think Nunes would be as big of impact off the bench. But that's just my opinion. But I get where you're coming from.
I like Nunes' performance, to be fair, against Everton. I thought he played well. I thought he was dangerous. I thought he was just going at them all game. And again, the finishing is probably the only criticism that I have for him, to be fair. I think his link-up play has been really good over the last few weeks, and I'm starting to see him gel in the team. And I agree with some of the comments. I think I would keep the front three how it was. I feel like he's starting to see it gel a bit now. I don't really see... We've chopped and changed so much. I feel like now something is maybe starting to gel a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe keep it in for one or two more games, like Sheik says, until Jota is fully fit. And then if it's not doing well enough, okay, now we've got Jota back, Diaz is coming back in a couple more weeks, then we can chop and change. But I agree as well. I think Jota coming on from the bench is better than Nunes coming on from the bench, for sure. We've seen Jota score so many goals from the bench already at Liverpool. And I think that is probably going to be the way to go, to be honest. And yeah, I just feel like if we dwell...
The only reason why perhaps I think Nunes would be better coming off the bench is because when we look at Nunes' attributes and what he offers the team, it's that pace, it's that running in behind, it's that off-ball movement. And I feel like perhaps 30 minutes left to go. Let's say we do have to take over Jota after 60 minutes. And also, I don't think Jota's fitness issue is the biggest thing, because like Klopp said, he's been training for quite some time, full training. I think it's a week and a half he's been training now. He was fit enough to play 20 minutes, which on his first game back after a serious injury is quite impressive, to be honest. Mm. So I think fitness issue perhaps is not as big of an issue. And so I feel like Nunes coming off the bench. I mean, I feel like Nunes coming off the bench, exploring the tiredness of the Newcastle defenders, Trippier, etc. They won't be as fully sharp, as fully fit as they were from minute one, as they will be if Nunes was to come on 65, 70 minutes to explore the spaces that Newcastle eventually offers. Because I'm thinking of it like this: Newcastle are going to start the game very compact, very solid, a mid to low block, and I feel like Nunes is not going to have a lot of space to do what Nunes does. Nunes needs a lot of space on the pitch to be effective. That's the reality, especially when it's in the left wing, because he hasn't got the technical ability to be able to.
So you're saying that later on the game will be more opened up for him to be able.
Exactly. I feel like there'll be more space on the pitch. Whereas at the beginning of the game, we're talking about a mid to low block, very sharp, very compact, very solid. We need technical players. We need especially in the front three to be able to combine. We need technical players, and I feel like Nunes' technical ability isn't there yet. And that's not to criticize Nunes. I mean, the play that we bought wasn't a technical play anyway. We know that his best position is striker, to be a poacher, to beat the Rokeros off. But left wing, we need a technical player. That's what Mane offers. That's what Gakpo offers. And so when we're playing a very, very solid team, I feel like we need technicians, and I don't think Nunes offers that. And therefore, what will happen is that I feel like Nunes will end up conceding a lot of turnovers. And if we concede a lot of turnovers to this Newcastle team, when they've got Saint Maximin, we're in trouble. So the only way we'll score an early goal at least, or score a goal before halftime, is by controlling the game. That's the reality, unfortunately. Or set piece, or maybe I can't attack something to every game. We have to either control the game or get fortunate in some other sort of circumstance. So that's why I wouldn't start Nunes. But we'll see what Klopp does at the end of it. If Nunes starts, I won't be too disheartened. I mean, I'm not saying he can't simply because of the way he plays, his intensity, his application, can't force something to happen. He can still create chaos. But I would say Nunes. I can see what all the comments are saying. I do get the comments. Why change when something's not broken? I'm just thinking about every team offers something different. Every team offers a different dynamic. Every team offers a different problem. I think what Newcastle offers is a very defensively solid team, and I don't think Nunes could do that.
You know what, I mean, we'll see. And you've made some good points there, and you've justified your choice by not starting Nunes. But what I can take from this conversation is it's just good to have the options again. And not Harvey Elliott at left wing, like we had a couple of weeks ago. So it's nice to finally be able to choose between Jota and Nunes, and hopefully very soon Diaz, because I've seen he was out running again today, which will be a big boost when he's back. But I stick by it. I think we should go unchanged, the whole team, and that's a bit of a spoiler going into the Newcastle preview. I'd go unchanged, the whole thing. Sheiks, let's talk just before we do fully get into the Newcastle stuff, and guys in the comments as well, make sure you have your say. Smash the like button and subscribe to the channel as well. There's 15 of you in here right now, so please do that. We are chasing down 1,000 subs. Performers, mate. I mean, let's talk about the main one for me, the man of the match, the LFC Standard Chartered Player of the Month. Guys in the comments as well, get involved with this. The player I'm obviously referring to is the new Sergio Busquets, Stefan Bessetti.
He was quality. Like, how old is he?
18.
Oh my God. Like, he did not play like an 18-year-old. He did not. For someone that is, you know, sometimes, and especially, you know what it is as well? Especially in a derby. Because the derby is normally helter-skelter. He just seems so calm. From what I understand, he's never played in the eight before. He's normally a six, and before that, he was a centre-back.
And Sheiks, by the way, just to interrupt, he only just turned 18 in October as well. So that's only, 4 months ago. So
He put a performance in much that belies his years. Trust me. Because
the best midfield performance this season.
Tackling, passing, guile on the ball, knowing when to... He doesn't look like the quickest, but The Gakpo goal, he was the one that kind of forced Iwobi into that kind of trap to get the ball off him. If you remember. So I can't speak highly of the guy. Against Brighton before the couple of games before, he was quality.
Wolves in the FA Cup, he was amazing. The only game really that I've seen him is not really played well was the City one in the Cup, but I didn't expect him to. He was against City's first choice midfield, and we had like a team that was all over the place.
He
wasn't too bad, but yeah, I mean, he wasn't stand great, out though. Yeah, no,
he's still very raw, but yeah. Exactly. I guess the reason why he's playing so well is simply because he's a technician. And we lack technicians on the pitch. I mean, one of the, and also he's a technician combined with the fact that he's a door-winning monster, and that's what Thiago offers us. He kind of reminds me of a younger version of Thiago. That these two players who are so composed, so technically secure on the ball, but also have this real intensity and kind of dog about them in the way they win the ball back in terms of how aggressive they are. So one of the things that we used to criticize Thiago was how rash Thiago was, and Bejetic has got that by Monster in terms of he's got that in him also, and also he's so good on the ball. And so you combine these two things and you have a very, very perfect, you have a perfect Klopp midfielder. And that's why I can only see him going strength to strength. And that's why he started so in it, because we've lacked what he offers. We've lacked exactly what he offers. And that's why he feels like a revolution.
You was going to say like a new signing, weren't you? You was going to say it's like a new signing.
I don't want to get to that.
And I get the points on Twitter when people, like, I put a couple of tweets out about him on TAT, and I had the people that just don't like to have fun replying, oh, stop overhyping him. Oh, this is where we go wrong. We
just enjoy this performance.
Exactly. And I'm on 10 games this season now, and I've seen very few good performances out of those games. And when you've seen in the flesh Jordan Henderson, James Milner, Fabinho, Oxlade-Chamberlain, sorry, forgive me for getting excited when I see this 18-year-old star boy. Like, we spoke, didn't we, Mo? Amadou Onana, a really good midfielder. You know, I've been really impressed by him this season, and I was scared of him. This guy just played him off the park like it was nothing. And we've seen top teams, like even Arsenal the other week, struggle against him. And, you know, they've got some decent midfielders this season. And then we've got this young kid, Stefan Bajcetic, who just marshalled him out of the game, was first to absolutely everything. Shig says, just plays with such maturity. And look, again, I do see the point. You do have to be careful not to overhype players, but he is the new Sergio Busquets.
He gave a great performance. I guess I kind of get
the reservation from other people, because I don't know if people have noticed in the last 18 months, Klopp has given a lot of debuts to a lot of young players. You look at, I remember Max Waltman, Tyler Morton, Clarkson. I mean,
Frondorf. Do you remember him?
Yeah, exactly.
And Doak as well.
Harvey Blair, Ben Doak. Also, he's kind of, I mean, he hasn't got a lot of chances recently. Also, I mean, so I get exactly, and I get why I get why people
don't do that, Ben. Don't do that.
I get why people have reserved. But the reason why this one feels different is because this is a person that started multiple games in a row now. He's definitely probably one of our best midfielders now, and he's definitely going to be starting a lot more games. Also, he's entered our first 11. He's in that mix now. There's no reason why he'll be dropped unless it's to be rotated now.
So you think he'll start in the game? He has to start, of course.
And in my opinion, it has to be the same midfield. I can't see why we change. It has to be the same midfield.
I'd keep exactly the same midfield. I would keep the team as it is. I know you said, I think the only thing person you'd change is Nunes, wasn't it? For Jota.
Yeah. Nunes for Jota. Simply because.
I would keep the same team. If it ain't broke, let them cook, man.
Have
a dig at you, but just for me, they've proved they've earned to play the game again. So until they don't, then say go again.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to talk about another player as well, because, again, it's only fair because I myself and many of the Liverpool fans have been giving this guy so much criticism this season. His name's Mohamed Salah. And, Shiggs, I want to ask you, why do you think he looks more like himself on Monday night? Like, for me, I saw Salah and I thought, you know what? Like, not even just this goal, because that is just a tap-in for Mo Salah. But I just, from his all-round play, I just thought Salah was a lot more like the Mo Salah that we know. So why do you think that was?
He was more engaged in the game. He was more engaged. He wasn't this forlorn figure out on the wing like, oh, He was engaged, like he was getting the ball, holding off people. I don't know, maybe because he got the ball more, or he just looked more engaged in the whole play. Like for me, that's the first time I've seen him where it looks like he gives a damn. He gave a damn. A lot of the games we've seen him play, and again, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but it just seemed like, right, today I'm going to show you that who I am. Even though he only got the one
goal.
I
can tell you why Salah played well. It's because he had the conditions and the environment to play well. I mean, to be fair, this is still a player that's registered 25 goals in this season. So his output isn't bad. He hasn't dropped off, considering the rest of the players, their output has dropped off by a mile. Yeah, Salah, in my opinion, is just a victim of the rest of the team not playing well. I mean, I can't doubt his quality in front of goal because he's not underperforming to XG. XG is still relatively the same as it's always been. He's had less touches in the box, less shots on target. He's playing more out wide. He's not the primary attacker anymore because of Nunes, because of where Nunes plays. So I can't criticize Salah as an individual. I can tell you why his performances have been amazing. It's because of the players around him and the conditions around him. That's my opinion anyway. And the reason why he played well is because the rest of the team played well, and Salah was able to get into his groove again. He's able to affect the game the way he was able to affect the game in the last 5.5 years. So exactly, that comment spot on. The team played the system well, and when the team plays the system well, each player goes up another gear.
Have a role.
I don't know. Exactly. I mean, if you look at that Trent assist today. That was classic Trent underlapping. Trent, the best place for Trent to be is sometimes in the midfield, but also overlapping Salah. I mean, like the way Salah and him combine is fantastic. I mean, that's one of the ways we get most of our goals through Salah coming inside, Trent overlapping and driving an assist down there. I can't, dozens of assists that Trent has got from that play alone. So the rest of the team, look at all the individuals. Robertson played fantastic. You look at Gomez and Matip. Gomez and Matip held their own, and that was because the rest of the team were playing. Also, each individual player. I can't say. I mean, we could talk about Fabinho, maybe Matip. We could talk about something that's declining, but the rest of the team, these are still quality players.
Oh, is Mo dropped out?
Yeah, I think he dropped out.
Oh,
Can I just add to what you said, Adam? There you go. Carry on, mate. Sorry.
No, were you saying something?
No, I was just going to add to what you were saying about Robertson. No. I loved what he did to him.
Oh, we'll get on to Yeah. We'll get on to it.
But yeah, sir, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, like each individual player plays up another game because the rest of the team plays well. This is a system that relies on each player doing their role properly. And once that happens, you look at Trent, you look at Salah, you look at Gakpo, you look at Nunes, you look at Fabinho playing well, Henderson playing well, Robertson playing well, Trent playing well. So I'm glad each player was able to display their quality and what they can still offer for the rest of the season, because we can still achieve relative success, all things considered. So we'll see. So I was glad with the performances, especially Salah also. I mean, Salah was able to play at an elite level. So I'm happy.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I just want to touch on what Shiggs was just alluding to there, right? So obviously Robbo is just, I love him. He's a proper wind-up merchant.
Do you remember when we were having a conversation about who should be captain if Henderson?
Yeah. You said
that's,
Robbo,
that's the reason why I wanted
to. Yeah, so for me, I was blessed enough to be on the second or third row.
Okay.
Where that literally happened, right in front of me. I felt like joining in. I was like, oh, let me back my boys. Virgil handled it on himself anyway. Yeah, like, they all came over and started pushing them all out of the way. And then obviously that got the crowd going. And I always think that's when you come to Anfield and you do something which makes the crowd react. Like Pep's done it, Arteta's done it. You're not going to win after that point. When the crowd get up for it like that, it's impossible. And I mean, Pickford's an absolute helmet. I mean, the way he conducted himself, like, I came home and said, I spoke to my brother about it. It's like, he has this attitude and this mentality that he's some elite goalkeeper and he can strut around Anfield like he's the big guy I am. Like, mate, you're notoriously known for being in relegation scraps. Like, you know, play with some, like, you know, humble yourself, what I'm saying. And it's like, he has this attitude and he starts stuff all the time. And then he's just always left with egg on his face. And I honestly, I have never disliked, I don't think in my life, there's probably a few exceptions, a player more than Jordan.
Nah, Duncan Ferguson, I hate that guy.
Well, he was before my time, mate. So,
yeah,
Pickford, I was so glad that, you know, he was on the losing side because he was just an idiot all game. I don't know how much of it you saw on the telly, but always moaning at stuff, always slapping the floor, moaning at his teammates. Like, it's not your teammates' fault that you stood over there when Mo Salah's over there. Well, that's you. You know what I mean? But
remember the England games. The England games, he was like that also, where he would just, where he'd be a character.
Kick off.
So I mean, that's just who he is, I guess. Maybe at times it helps his team, him being a character, him kind of running up. Each player likes those kind of plays, but yeah, I mean, it kind of backfired at him.
And see Nunes running over as well, like giving it I love this team. They annoy me.
I was going to say, it's such a shame Nunes got that red card early in the season. I feel like that kind of numbed the way he kind of likes to be on the pitch. Kind of, he's kind of more reserved now.
Yeah, what, against Crystal Palace, you mean?
Yeah. Since he got a card, he's been much more reserved in the way he reacts.
That's a good point. Because when I seen him running over, I was like, oh no, someone get this guy away. But he was, in his defence, pulling everyone away from it. Like, I think he got Firmino and just pushed him away. He got a couple of the other guys and pulled him away. But I was just saying just then, like, this team has annoyed me so much this season. And of course, we're all frustrated by where we are and the results. But when you just see moments like that and when you get wins like that, it just reminds you, like, we still love these guys, but we just want and we expect them to do better. And that's what I was alluding to at the start when I said, like, you know, it's amazing to get that performance in against our bitter rivals, bitter rivals. But now, and we'll get into it properly, we have to follow it up, Shiggs, don't we, on Saturday. If we go and even draw... Like, because, right, let me just jump the gun here and talk about top four, yeah? If we beat Newcastle on Saturday, I believe we're 6 points from the top four.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound, considering where we've been, mate, it's not a million miles away, is it? So, we have to get a win, don't we?
Yeah. Not even just for top four. It's just for momentum. Because... If we end up drawing there or we lose, God forbid, it just puts another dent in the train to try and get some momentum, because we want as much momentum as we can get going into the Madrid game as well. And I know people might say it's got something to do with the other, but it has that flow of confidence, that air of not invincibility, but okay, yeah, we are who we were meant to be going into that Madrid game, because we're going to need all the confidence we can get against Madrid. So it's imperative, and we went there last season and got a clean sheet. But I don't know if Eddie Howe was in charge then, was he? I don't think he was. But I can't remember that far back. But they still had the same team. But now I've got to give Eddie Howe credit, because he's whipped them into a properly good team. Now they've been on a bit of a bad run, but I think they've drawn the last three games or something like
just
that.
Just a bit of a dip, isn't it?
Yeah. If there's any time to kind of capitalize on that, that's on Saturday, and I'm hoping we can. Like you were saying, Mo, hopefully if we can get an early goal, that will allow Lunes to kind of be the battering ram, and then Jota can come on in the later.
Yeah, yeah. Because if
you, and the cherry on top kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Because the thing, the issues about teams, the way Newcastle play and teams like Newcastle is that if the longer we go without a goal, the game goes completely out in our favor. If we can get an early goal, that'll almost shock Newcastle, number one, but number two, also allow us to have more space, because they have to themselves start to offer something. That'll give us more space, more territory, and allow us to get a second goal and then kill off the game. That's the way Klopp likes to play. That's the way we should be. That should be our goal. But hopefully get a goal for a 30-minute mark and then eventually kill off the game by getting a second or third goal. The longer we go without a goal, the less space will be for us to attack, the more defensively solid Newcastle will be. Because the reality is that this is a team, I think Newcastle are like 16 games on being in the Prem. That's incredible.
Let's go and end it.
We're the only team to have beaten them in the Prem.
And also, we've got a game in hand on them as well.
The last team they lost to was our 2-1 victory.
Carvalho.
Right? Exactly. That was such a long time ago.
That seems forever, man.
Exactly, yeah.
Is Fabio Carvalho, like, where is he? What's
he's alive, man. I saw training pictures of him in a green top. He's alive. He's about, man. He's about.
We'll see then if he's part, because again, like, I didn't think he was doing too bad when he played, to be fair, but for whatever reason, he's not been given.
He was another option, someone that offered something different, and then eventually got injured. We lacked another solution, another option off the bench, which only hurts us more. So
yeah, just reading Newcastle's last few results maybe gives us a bit of confidence. They've drawn to Bournemouth, they've drawn to West Ham, they beat Southampton in the cup. I mean, it's not really an achievement.
Man City couldn't do it.
Yeah, true. They drew to Palace. They beat Fulham 1-0. So they're not really scoring many goals either, which I think is a... I mean, I don't want to jinx things and touch them wood.
Don't.
Like you said, Chicks, they're coming into this game with a dip of form. And I'm not saying we're in form because it was just one win, but maybe we are coming into this game now with a bit more confidence. Yeah. And, you know, I think some guys were on about it earlier. I think we were forgetting that Virgil's on the bench. Now, again, I don't know how fit he is, because it was weird, because Klopp, in his press conference before Everton, said that Virgil, out of all the guys returning, is the furthest one away from coming into the team. But he was on the bench. So was he just on the bench to make up the numbers, or can he? I don't know, but I would be surprised if he starts on
Saturday. I feel like if, as soon as Van Dijk's fit, he's going to go straight into the team, in my opinion. I feel like I can just see that happening. I mean, normally when players are on the bench, the reality is that they're fit enough to play at least some sort of role in the team. But the way Klopp spoke before the game, I genuinely have no clue what this do. I mean, hopefully the press conference tomorrow should give us more knowledge about whether he can actually start or not. Yeah. But
you know what I think will happen? Hopefully, I think he'll go with this. This is just what I think. I think he'll go with the same team that played against Everton. And if we're winning by 2 goals, hopefully we are, I think he'll bring him on with 20 minutes left, just to get something under his belt. Because I think he will start against Madrid. But it depends how it goes against Newcastle, whether we're winning or not, if it brings him on.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't see Klopp subbing on Van Dijk to play 20 minutes. I can't see that happening, really, simply because I don't think...
Did he do that with, what's his name? Who was the defender that came on? Is it Joe Gomez?
For what game?
I'm trying to think. It's a while back. Someone came when he was... The defender came... Oh, no, I'm thinking of another team. Don't mind me. I was gonna say.
I feel like with the way Van Dijk is, I feel like once he's fit, he's just gonna start rather than him being easy.
Oh no, I'm thinking about Man City. They put on a Kanji for Diaz, didn't they? So yeah, all that for fingers. So yeah, no, don't mind.
Yeah. But yeah, I can just see Klopp starting him. So if he's not fit to play a full 90 minutes against him, because I don't think he'll start or even come off the bench. Because like if we're 2-0 up, 3-0, why would he risk even the slightest 1% chance that he might aggregate something?
I think I was just saying that because of the Madrid game, because I believe that he would start for that game. So
that's a good point. That's a good point. He should be able to build fitness, but hopefully training.
We'll do that. We'll see.
And like you say, Mo, I think the press conference tomorrow will give us more of an indicator. I mean, you know, there's a few coming back. I'd love Virgil to be fit for this, because I know we've criticised him again a lot this season, but I'm still a lot more comfortable when he's in the team than when he's not. So, that's all I'll say on him. We're going to finish on this topic. And Mo, a couple pods ago, mate, I'm going to let you go first. You said that you still believe top four is on. And then we did a pod after the Wolves game, and a couple guys in the comments were saying, oh, Mo said top four is on. How are you feeling now, mate? I mean, we've already said what the situation is. I
keep the same position. The way top four is, the reality of the way the other teams are, you look at Spurs, you look at Tottenham, you look at them dropping points also. The reality is that if we can build a winning run, or even a run where we go 10, 11 games and beat, we will get top four. That's how it was 2 years ago. That's how top four has always been. I mean, if you look at every single top, if you ever look at every third and fourth place finish from the last few years, no team was ever consistent to get that. There was no team that bang on, they're getting third place, or bang on, they're getting fourth place. That isn't how top four. The right is that you have to come into form in the right moment. And so hopefully with these, I think it's 17 games left we've got, Even if we can start to pick up some points.
17, we've got 17 left.
Yeah, 17 games left, and build a winning run. We will 100% get to four. You said it. 6 points behind Newcastle if we beat them. Three points of a game in hand if we win our game in hand, which I think is against Chelsea. But that the game in hand has been right. Games come when their games come. So all we need is momentum. And like I said, we've had too many turning points to feel like, oh yeah, finally we've clicked there. Finally now this is it. We're gonna start winning games. We have to follow it with results. So I feel like if we beat Newcastle, for sure, in my heart of I still think we'll get top four. That's my prediction. I can say that confidently. I still think we'll get top four, in my opinion. But the reality is just when is it going to click? And so hopefully Monday showed us that we can still play at high level, and then we follow up with a result against Newcastle. But I still think we'll get top four. That's my prediction.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I always look back to 2021. What were we? Was it 12 points off top four when we went on that run in the last 10 games? I know it's a completely different situation. Football was completely different that year. Okay, fine. There's so many things you have to take into account.
Quickly. Yes, we're an example of that, but there are so many other teams who ended up getting top four that were also horrible for majority of the season, but just clicked in the last 15, 16 games. You look at Chelsea, that lockdown season also. You look at United the season before when they were about, I think, 16. They were 15 points behind Leicester City. He had 50 points when COVID hit. COVID hit. United were 11th or 10th, and they had 35 points, and they ended up going on a fantastic run. The reality is that all we need is momentum and a winning run. And so even if worst case scenario, we don't beat Newcastle. If just again, we just click, and we get our momentum, and we'll get to four. I can't. How can anybody possibly rule out top four with 17 games to go? It's impossible. Unless you're 25 points behind top four, which we aren't. There's no way nobody can. There's no way no team who's in a top four race can't get top four. Spurs can still get top four. I don't know who else is in the running. I can't see. But
it's Newcastle. So at the minute, it's City, Arsenal. And then those two positions, I think we're all even, you know, probably wrapped up top four. But then it's Newcastle, Tottenham, and then if you want to include Brighton and Fulham, Brentford in there, and then it's us. But I agree with what you say. I think if we beat Newcastle, then again they're in a bit of trouble because that's like four or five games now where they're looking a bit, you know. Very average compared to how they started the season. Tottenham, I still think we'll finish up with Tottenham, even if we're getting top four or not, to be honest. Kane is turning up now, to be fair, but apart from that, and then Brighton and Fulham, Brentford again.
I don't think they'll be getting Europe.
No.
I think Brighton will be a Conference League, but.
Yeah, I mean, it all starts on Saturday. And I think, I said this before as well, you have to take it one game at a time. That's what I said before Everton. And we got the win. We had the performance. I'm very fortunate enough to be at the game on Saturday as well. So it's another big game for me personally. So I want nothing more. And if we do get the win on Saturday, it's going to feel like it's the biggest one of the season by a mile, because that's the one opportunity we have now to beat one of our rivals for this season, at least, that are looking to get top four. And, you know, we've missed all these opportunities, haven't we, Shiggs? There's been so many chances for us that have been on a plate and we've fluffed our lines. So it's vital we do it this time, isn't it?
Extremely. And we can, but it's like Mo was saying earlier, it's important for us to get off to a good start, because we don't want Newcastle, because their goalkeeper, Pope, always seems to have a good goal against us. So,
lanky guy, man.
Yes. I mean, he's a good goalkeeper. He's a good goalkeeper. So,
the match conditions are scaring me quite a little bit. When it's 5:30 on a Saturday, away from home. I hate these kind of games. They're not speaking to me. But we'll have to see.
If we want to be up there, we're gonna have to do it one way or another.
If we can overcome this with all things considered, like the match conditions, the way Newcastle are defensively, if we can overcome this, then for sure, I can call this a massive, massive turning point. Because not only have we followed up a big derby win, but also a big win at home of a team that City couldn't beat, that United couldn't beat, that Arsenal couldn't beat. If we can then go and beat them at St. James Park, that's a huge, huge result for us.
Cool.
I'm kind of positive for once. I know I'm positive that we can get a result out there it may be like a 2-0 or a 2-1, but I think we'll have enough to because the thing I look at, just quickly, the thing I look at is Almiron and Joe Linton, they seem to have, their purple patch seems to have died down now, because there was a time when Almiron was bagging in goals every week. It's kind of just leveled off. So I'm hoping that leveling off continues and they maybe just get we're 2-0 up and they get a consolation goal in the 93rd minute, something like that. And then the referee calls it a day. But yeah, I think like we've said, in most games, it's going to be a midfield battle. If our midfield can get on top, I see us winning, going ahead and winning the game.
Cool. No, I agree. And look, that's just, you know, fingers crossed that I think the pod will probably be Sunday, maybe in the late afternoon, evening time, that when we do come back, as Shiggs has gone, we are here with another win to talk about, another big 3 points, and that we can truly start this top four title charge, which we let's be real, it's essential we get into the top four for next season to get targets in that we want to sign. So that's going to be it for us tonight, guys. I think we've discussed quite a lot, but make sure you smash that like button if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you guys after the Newcastle game. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.